Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
Forever is a long time, isn't it? But when it comes to our Lord, we can sing of His love forever. We can sing with Him forever. What an amazing thing that He bestowed upon us, this thing we call worship. You know, it was His idea. And we are invited into His worship, to His presence. And when we sing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We're just welcoming. Of course, the Holy Spirit is here. He's in every believer. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit is here. But as a congregation, we come together and we invite Him in. We make Him feel welcome. We rely upon Him. We ask for His conviction. We ask for His voice. That's why we gather together, isn't it, to worship the Lord, to sing of His great love. And if you have a little bit of an issue, a hard time doing it now, eternity is a long time. We're going to be worshiping consistently when we enter into the glory of God. Let's pray this morning. Father, Lord, thank You so much that You have constructed Your gospel message in such a way where we pull in the worship, Lord Jesus. We thank You for all of those things. Father, be glorified today as we meet here, as we congregate in fellowship together. Lord God, we're not just here at an event, but Lord God, we are the church. We are the bride. We are the body coming together, lifting up our voices in unity to You. We also are here this morning to pray for this world, to pray for those that are apart from You, those that have not experienced You yet, Lord God. And we ask, Lord, that You touch those lives. But when we ask that You touch those lives, we have to ask with the understanding that we are Your vessel. We are Your mode. We are Your hands and Your feet. So when we say, Lord, touch those that don't know You, in essence, what we're doing is saying, Lord, equip me to testify to those without You about who You are and to introduce the two of You. So Lord God, we ask that You use us, You direct us, You speak to us, and You guide us. Lord, this morning in church, pray with me this morning for Sandy Carroll. Lord God, we lift her up to You right now. Lord, my prayer has been that the Holy Spirit infiltrate her lungs, that the Holy Spirit fill those lungs, fill them in a way that she's never experienced before, because healing comes through the Holy Spirit. And Lord God, we ask for wisdom and guidance for the physicians and the doctors. Of course we ask for that, but Lord, we ask for a supernatural healing miracle, Lord God, one that cannot be explained by mere science and medical technology. But Lord God, we have a confidence in You that has an understanding that, Lord, all things are held in Your hand. So Lord, this morning, as we speak right now, we lift Sandy up as a congregation, as a body. We seek Your face and we ask for Your touch. We ask for peace upon Sandy and Mike. Lord God, peace that passes all understanding. And that peace comes with a confidence in You. Lord, we also lift up Monty this morning as he's dealing with a tooth issue. His whole face is all swollen up. And Lord God, we know too that you can let Your touch hit that. Lord God, even before he goes to the dentist tomorrow morning, Lord God, let healing begin. Let it begin right now. Lord God, we lift up everybody else in this congregation that's going through anything, be it physical, emotional, spiritual, even financial. Lord God, we give it all to You as Your body, we come together and we seek nothing less than you, your will upon our lives. So Jesus, this morning, be glorified. Continue on with this service, Lord God. Pray for the kids as they're about to go downstairs, Lord God. Let them experience you in a whole new way. Lord God, when those little voices come back up, Lord God, use them to minister to their parents. What a wonderful thing that is, out of the mouths of children. Pray all this in the mighty name of our King, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. You guys can be seated. What a great time of worship. Did you guys get into it? You guys were quiet at first, but you got loud there at the end. Everybody in here knows I like a loud church, so let's not stop now. With that being said, let the loudest of our body be dismissed to go downstairs. A lot of energy is about to leave the sanctuary, but that's okay. We will be doing communion at the end of service, so we will call the kids back up at that time because we always want the kids to participate with us. All right. Amy left for some reason. She's no child. She's a kid at heart. Few announcements, quick announcements, real quick. Next Saturday, we're doing we do highway cleanup twice a year. We do one in the spring, one in the fall. Obviously, this is the one in the fall. So Saturday, October 16th, just meet here at the church at 8:30, and then we usually leave some cars here and just take minimal amount of cars. Our mile is just, where am I? That way, right? So that way, the road's that way. Dave, right? I'm directionally on right now. And the more people, the quicker it is. I think, you know, the very first time that I ever participated in highway cleanup, it was like, oh my gosh, there is garbage everywhere. And it took a while, but doing it twice a year, it goes really fast. Of course, it's fun. We always get to discuss who found the best piece of trash. And that's always good. We should probably give an award for that, but we never do. So please come out to that. The more people, the better. Again, it's fun. It's fellowship. And then later that day, Saturday the 16th, we're not having, but Celebrate Recovery is having here in the basement Nacho Average Celebrate Party. It always hangs me up. Every time I read that, it messes me up. I don't have a graphic for that. I'm sorry for that. But that will be at 5 p.m. here in the basement. Food, fun. It's just a time to get more information about Celebrate Recovery. It's a time to volunteer to help with Celebrate Recovery. And helping with Celebrate Recovery looks all different ways. It can be baking, making, cooking a meal and bringing it in. It could be helping in the nursery. It could be all sorts of things. And then there's also the financial aspect to that. So this is very much a fundraising event, but it's going to be fun with raffles and lots of nachos. Who doesn't like Mexican food in here? If not, we'll pray for you. What? Nachos, Mexican food, we love all that. So that will be Sunday at 5, or Saturday at 5 p.m., so you can pick up trash in the morning and eat nachos in the evening. And then, of course, what's coming up on the 31st? Trunk or treat! We got Trunk or Treat from 4 to 7 here in the parking lot. The sign-up sheet is in the back under the TV in the foyer. You guys can still sign up to do a trunk or to volunteer to do whatever, but we want to get as many people here. You guys need to be inviting. I sent it to YNOP. It's on Facebook. If you see it on Facebook, if it comes up on your page, just hit share. Let's get this all over. We'll probably contact Kessler School, even though that is a whole huge process of getting an announcement in there. We'll still try that, but usually we get a huge crowd here. And it's fun. And it's a lot of candy and popcorn and cider and hot cocoa. And the weather's going to be just absolutely wonderful. Even though we do need snow, we need snow this year, but let's do it after our trunk or treat. But it's always a fun time. I like seeing, you know, you guys come out and you do trunk or treat, and I see a whole different side of you guys. It's like you shed 20 years, and it's like you're running around here like teenagers. It's so much fun, and then the kids are looking, going, wow, these grown-ups aren't very grown up, and it's so much fun. But invite everybody, because it's a really great thing. Giving, of course, we got three ways to give. Like always, you can give online, bridgehelena.com, really easy. It's got a pull-down menu. If you guys ever want to donate to something specific, benevolence to the youth, to the kids, whatever, it's really easy to do that online. Of course, you can do the giving boxes where you can fill out the envelope right there. I think Alvin's doing it right now. I think what he's got $4,000 he's putting in right on, Alvin. But you can shove that. The giving boxes are big enough. They can hold a lot of money. I'm just kidding. We're not that kind of church that's like money, money, money. So we joke about it. Mail, you can mail it in. The reason I go through all this is because there's so many aspects of worship, isn't there? A lot of people think, oh, we have worship for 4 to 5 songs and then worship's over at church. No, absolutely not. Everything involved, our interaction with Jesus by way of the Holy Spirit is worship, right? When we pray, it's a form of worship. When we help somebody out because God has directed us to do that, that's a form of worship. When we give the Lord our finances, when we say, you know what, I don't want to have control over anything, especially not my finances, that's a form of worship. When we get to write that tithe check out, we're not just filling out a check. It's a form of worship. So we always want to give you the easiest avenue to worship in any way possible. And for finances, there's three ways to give. All right, we're done with that. Who's ready to get started now? Are you guys ready for the message? How many of you guys were here last week? Good, because if you weren't here last week, You need to get online. You need last week's message to really, if you don't have last week's message, everything that I talk about through the rest of this series, you're going to be getting like 50 or 60% of what's going on. But with the background that we talked about last week, it just opens up. The colors are more vibrant. The scripture comes alive that much more. So this morning, we will start reading through the book of 1 John. Let me pray, and then we will get going. Father, thank you that you gave us your word. Thank you that you gave us your scriptures. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that they are. They're alive, they're inspired, they're inerrant. And Lord God, thank you that we can gather together on a Sunday morning and open up those scriptures. Because Lord, if we're not doing that, what is the point of us being here? Holy Spirit, help me to speak only the things that you direct me to. And Lord God, if it's not of you, just shut my mouth. And Lord God, help people to open up their ears, open up their eyes, open up their hearts, open up their brains, to really be challenged and receive what you have for us today. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And once again, everyone shout it out. Amen. Amen. You guys know the title of this message is No Middle Ground. And that is because the essence of the book, 1 John, he is separating black and white, right? There is no middle ground. Last week, I didn't have it in my notes. It just kind of flew out of my mouth, and I got a couple emails that people were like, man, that's the money shot right there. That is it. And I simply said that there's black and white, and that the gray areas are simply the black in disguise. And I truly believe that. And I truly believe that as we are seeing more and more gray areas in our nation, in our society, they're not really gray areas. They're black areas. They're just disguising themselves. Now, the book of John is definitely one of my favorite books of the Bible, if not my absolute favorite book of the Bible. And starting this series, especially starting today as we are going to open it up and start reading through, this is very exciting for me because, you know, ever since Amy and I moved here to Montana, I have wanted to do this series. I have so wanted to jump into 1 John for 5 years. I have asked God, hey, can I do this message? And he said, no, I want you to do this message, or I want you to do this. And now that God has said, this is the time, this is now, it gets me excited. I have no idea. I really don't have any idea why God does the things that he does in my life. I don't know why he talks to me the way he does. I don't know why he shows me the things that he does. I don't know why he directs me the way that he does. But one thing that I will not do is question his wisdom. And I believe this message is appropriate for now. Now, last week we learned about the book or the epistle titled 1 John, and I believe having that knowledge and the context of that is important for several reasons. First, we gain a knowledge about the authorship and whom the original letter was written to. Second, we gain insight into the reason that this letter was being written, and this is a big one. Why the Holy Spirit inspired John to write down and to send this letter out helps us to experience this letter in a much deeper way. And third, when we have this basic understanding, we can then bring that into our lives. We can incorporate the truth we find and we can apply it into our personal lives as well as into this church. I do believe that solid biblical churches are under an attack right now like really we've never seen before. You could say, yeah, but what about all the churches that got burnt down this time or that or that are being burnt down in other countries? They're taking the physical structure of those, right? But in America, though our physical structure is safe for the most part, the church, the body of believers, you and I are being attacked. It's an attack on a spiritual level from the enemy. It's an attack on a social level. You know, fundamental Christians that actually believe in Jesus and what the Bible says, we're bigots and we're racists and we're narrow-minded and all that. And there's this big group of people that are wanting to turn the tide on the churches and make the church the enemy. So we have to read books like 1 John, and we have to just not just say, oh, that was a great story, but actually bring that in, understand it, apply it, put it into our lives on a personal level and on a church level. If you did miss last week, please, please, please get online. I've been asked by several people to maybe do some notes that I can give to you guys, especially from last week. We were out of town this last week, so I didn't have time to do that, but I will get that done so each of you can kind of have that and be able to look back and rely upon that, because I'm telling you, there's so much there. Now we have set the table, so to speak, and now it's time to dig in to the richness of this scripture. If you have your Bible today, and I hope you guys have your Bibles today. I hope you have your Bibles. I hope you have a notepad. I hope you have all that good stuff. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. If you don't know where 1 John is, go to the very back of the Bible. You'll see the book of Revelation, right? Just go a couple chapters before that. You will find 1 John. Don't get it mixed up with the Gospel of John, which is kind of more in the middle. 1 John. As we begin today, this is actually a very interesting and a very complex message what we're going to go through today. For one thing, unlike many of the other epistles or letters that are found in the New Testament, John does not start off by addressing this letter in any way. It's like, wait, didn't he go to English class when he was little? Didn't he learn how to write a letter? You're supposed to be dear somebody and put all that up top. He threw all that out of there. Instead, he starts with a powerful proclamation. So the first three verses that we're going to look at here today, we'll actually go through the first four verses today, but the first three verses is one long sentence that establishes the authority that John is writing under. If you remember from last week, that is incredibly important because the group that had left were saying, oh, don't listen to them. They don't have any apostolic authority. They don't know anything. So John starts out right away and he's establishing the authority that he is looking or writing under. Let's take a look. We're going to read through 1 John 1, 1 through 4, and then we will break it down. 1 John 1, 1 through 4 says this: that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That was all one sentence. And then he ends in verse 4, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Every time I read this, I say, what a way to start a letter. There's no fluff. There's no frilly things like that. He gets right into it. See, it starts with four statements that progress and build upon each other. The author pulls the reader in with his excitement. John is so excited here, and he has this utter confidence in who he is speaking about. It makes me want to just keep going. Now, understand that John is not speaking about Christ in an abstract way or even in a theologic manner. John is speaking about somebody he knows dearly and absolutely. And I wonder, when we speak of Christ, do we confer this same type of relationship and the same type of passion that John does? I think we're supposed to. Sometimes we get in a conversation, we start talking about Jesus, and it sounds like we're reading out of a textbook and that we're talking about somebody that we don't actually know. Jesus wants us to speak about him like he is our Lord, our Savior, and our best friend. Let's look at these four different statements that John is making. Statement number one, that which was from the beginning. Does that sound familiar to anybody in here? Because it does to me. See, John is pointing the reader back to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. And it says this: in the beginning was the Word. We all know who the Word is. We're not talking about a literal word. We're talking about Jesus here. In the beginning was Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Wow. Wow, what an amazing passage that is. And John here in 1 John is hearkening us back to that. It's like, hey, remember this. Reread this. You guys need to re-understand this. And John 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 1, is really pointing the reader back to Genesis 1, verse 1. The very first words of the Bible, which say this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Not only is this a declaration that God is eternal, that he is the author of all things, and that there is none before him, it also establishes a vital point that Jesus was there. Jesus was there, ever present throughout eternity past. See, this declaration contained in these first six words really sets the direction of this entire letter. By referring back to John 1 and Genesis 1, John is showing that the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ, is from the beginning because it is of God. It precedes creation. It precedes time. It precedes history. Jesus is, always has been, and always will be the axis that humanity and everything we know, see, and perceive will always turn upon. It's all about Jesus, isn't it? Despite what anyone says, Christ is established from the beginning. Now, if you remember from last week, that's exactly what was going on. Had this big group of the church, they left. They started talking about how Christ wasn't this. He never came this way. He never did these things. He never taught. So John here, he takes this time to establish in the very first verses of the letter who Jesus Christ is. Statement number two, which we have heard, that which was made available to sinful, lost, and dying mankind. That which has not been hidden, but that which has been revealed. Revealed by the incarnate Messiah, Jesus himself. John 14:6, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, truth has been authorized by the Father and extended through the Son. This establishment is the foundation for our faith. John is testifying that he himself personally interacted with Christ when he was here on earth. And John is stating that because he has personally heard the heart of Christ. And he can speak within the authority of Christ. Though we have not interacted with Christ on a physical sense. Right? None of us have been able to take a walk with Jesus and he's right there in his human form. He can speak to us and bestow that same authority upon us when we accept him into our life as Lord and Savior. When we are born again and become a temple of the Holy Spirit, we too gain this same understanding as we hear through Scripture, and we hear through the voice of the Holy Spirit. I guess what I'm saying is if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have authority to speak to who he is. Nothing can take that authority away from you. So are we speaking with the authority that he has granted us? Are we telling people who Jesus actually is? Or are we timid? Afraid we might offend somebody. Well, in my belief system, I believe in Jesus. John doesn't say that at all here. That which was from the beginning, Jesus Christ. He was there. He is here. He always will be. No ifs, ands, or buts. See, we too gain this same understanding that John is speaking with. Statement number three, which we have seen with our eyes. Now John moves from just hearing to also seeing. And we all know that communication is about much more than just the words that we hear. The visual component in our conversations is a powerful and lasting impression. That's why text messaging is so terrible. You send five words and there's no context to that. There's no body language. There's no expression. You don't know what that means, really. You just see these simple words. Well, John's saying it was more than just hearing him. It was also seeing him. See, that's where the saying comes along. You have to see it to believe it, right? We've all heard that. And most of the time we have to see it to believe it. John's saying, I heard it and I saw it. See, Christ can never be and he never will be confined to just words on any page. He is at work. He is in action. There's a supernatural manifestation that can be seen in our everyday life, which transcends our understanding. It's supernatural. That's the God that you serve, a supernatural God. See, John is referring to those things that he had witnessed Christ do with his very own eyes. And I believe he is also referring to the things the Holy Spirit enlightens our eyes to see. Statement number four, which we have looked upon and have touched with our own hands. John is bringing in another aspect of sense here, isn't he? Heard, seen, and now touched. See, John is leaving little doubt here as to the person of Christ and the fact that he physically walked this earth. Remember, those who had left the church, they had denied that Jesus ever came in the flesh. And now John, with his apostolic authority, is saying, oh, they're saying that? But I actually heard him. I sat with him many a time. He told me many things. And I touched him. We hugged. We did things together. We slapped each other on the back. He touched me. I saw the things that he did. I saw the miracles. I saw every person that he healed. See, they can claim that. But under the apostolic authority, I'm claiming this. And I'm telling you, this happened. See, John is speaking to the recipients of this letter in a way that demonstrates his personal knowledge and his personal experience. He's not talking about something or someone that he has not personally heard, seen, or touched. These four opening statements lead the reader to an undeniable assertion of who Jesus is. What an amazing way to start a letter. I like it because John, he's not convincing people. He's stating facts. As Christians, we need to be about stating the facts of our faith, right? Sometimes we treat people a little too soft. Let's keep going. Flip up that now. Concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest and we have seen it and we testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. Again, remember from last week, the church had split and there were those who had left that still had their teeth clamped in to those who had stayed. They still trying to influence. They were still trying to break that church up. They were trying to entice people out. They were calling into question who Jesus was as well as his existence upon the earth. John knows that everything that will proceed from these first three verses will be contingent upon who Christ has been established to be. So John establishes Christ to who he actually is within the authority of his position. John once again reiterates the personal witness as to who Jesus is and that he was sent by the Father. I think we can just read up to here and I think we can learn a lot from John here. How we interact. The boldness of our faith. I talk about being bold in the faith. But then we can falter sometimes because we don't establish who Jesus is in our conversation. We're talking to an atheist. We can never sway. Oh no, it's Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. We have to speak with that boldness and convincing tone. See, John here is removing any doubt or debate as to who Christ is. Establishing from the start this fundamental understanding that Jesus is the Son of God, who walked this earth in human physical form and bore our sins, the sins of mankind, upon the cross of Calvary. This is an established point that is non-negotiable. It's non-negotiable for this letter. It's non-negotiable for the recipients of this letter. And it's non-negotiable for us. At least it should be. Because one of the all-out attacks upon the church right now is questioning who Jesus actually is, what Jesus actually did, the accomplishment that Jesus actually accomplished. Do we need Jesus to get to heaven? Not every church agrees upon that. Now look at verse 3. Verse 3 introduces the purpose of this letter. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. John's intent here is to speak truth, truth in love, so that the recipients may have or be in true fellowship with the church, with the bride of Christ, with other believers. See, when you look at that, when you read that, and it says, oh, fellowship, we just think, oh, fellowship's a fun word, isn't it? We like to get together as a church and have some fellowship, don't we? Come pick up trash. It's great fellowship. And we use this word fellowship kind of lightly. But the English word for fellowship in this context, it lacks a bit. In the Greek, fellowship here, fellowship implies communion. It implies participation. Everybody say amen for participation. The sharing of a common life. Does that mean we're supposed to like actually like each other and share with each other and hang out with each other other than Sunday mornings and picking up trash? Yeah, we're supposed to. We're supposed to share a common life. And then look at that last one, partnership. Partnership. We are partnering together as the body of Christ. See, it's about believers who share a common faith in Jesus Christ, who He is, and what only He can provide. You've heard me say this before, probably a lot. Probably, I'm not going to say too much, but a lot. But I feel like I have to continually say this. We are presently living in a time where we also must continually seek our fellowship in Christ with other true believers. Remember, I talked about the true church. Talk about true believers. Feeling like I have to distinguish between the church and the true church, between believers and true believers. The once solid umbrella that covered Christianity as a whole has developed far too many holes in it. As a result, those who hold a literal belief of Scripture, those who believe in the absolute authority of God, those who believe Jesus Christ is the one and only way to the Father, those who believe Christ walked this earth, died upon the cross while bearing our sins, rose 3 days later and ascended back into heaven, those who believe these things, we must differentiate ourselves from what mainstream American Christianity has become. And this is why 1 John is so very relevant to us today. Which brings us to verse 4. New sentence. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. So powerful. John here links his standing as an apostolic witness with being a Christian brother. John had the authority. But he also had the love of a Christian brother. Though this letter is an authoritative statement to where these churches need to go, what they need to guard themselves against, and its instructions to them on how to get there, it is also evident that John has a heart concern for anyone who is in error or being preyed upon. It's not just toe the line, do this or we're going to have a problem. John's heart comes out and says, man, we need to have unity. We need to stand together. Our joy needs to be complete. See, from a theological standpoint, John's desire is that they may be doctrinally sound in regards to the gospel of Christ. It's important to be doctrinally sound, right? Our theology has to line up with Scripture. And it needs to do that both in our understanding and in our application. That is truth, isn't it? But personally here, John is concerned for each individual and where their heart is. And that is love. Got to speak the truth in love, right? Truth in love. Here is an example of speaking the truth in love. And John's joy will be complete here as a result of their obedience, because their obedience will strengthen the overall fellowship of believers, and joy will be multiplied. I mean, in here agree that joy needs to be multiplied within this world. Joy needs to be multiplied within the churches. Joy needs to be multiplied within this church. How do we get there? Number one, we get doctrinally sound. And number two, we extend love to one another. See, this is absolutely the definition of truth and love, or correction with concern. The joy we are talking about here can only be found in the Lord. It is inseparable from the salvation that is present within Christ. It is abundant in the person of Jesus, and it abounds in the fellowship because of Him. A church that doesn't like each other is lacking something much greater than social skills, right? And we need to open our eyes and understand that. Look at John 17:13. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Joy is not something you can just find. Joy can only be found in Jesus Himself. As I was writing this message, as I was thinking about all these things, as I was looking into the true definition of fellowship, what it was to convey in here, I could think nothing else than what a great message and day for communion. Communion of the fellowship. So this morning together, as we share in the fellowship and we share in the joy of being a part of Christ's church, remember fellowship here is communion, participation, the sharing of a common life and partnership. Let us share together as the bride of Christ in communion. Could somebody sneak down and grab the kids? Participation, remember? Yeah. Woo! Woo! And worship team, if you guys want to come up here. So this morning, as we partake in communion, as we partake in the fellowship, as we participate, as we share the common life. You know, when we're doing communion together, we're not sharing our common life, we're sharing His common life. So this morning, communion needs to be something intense, something personal. You guys know that I don't like to just simply do communion because it's on the calendar and it's something we're supposed to do, right? There's a religious aspect to that that takes away a personal encounter with Jesus. So we do communion in ways like this. And I want to encourage you guys as you come up, we're going to sing another song. We're going to come up. We're going to get the elements. We serve an open communion here. The only thing that we ask is that you have a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But as we come up, as the worship team is singing, it's okay to hug somebody. It's okay to slap them on the back. It's okay to give them a word of encouragement. It's okay to say, man, I have just missed seeing you. And 1 week is too long. It is okay to have that type of godly fellowship. We need to be loving on the kids as we participate in communion together. So really, when we do communion, we are proclaiming our belief in who He is that has set us free. So if you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior and He has set you free, communion is very much a time of celebration. So let us rejoice together in both the sacrifice as well as the new covenant. Let us celebrate with one another that Jesus Christ was there from the beginning. He's here now and He will be for eternity future. Let us celebrate Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And let us proclaim His goodness until His return. As we begin to sing again, you guys feel free whenever you feel ready, come up and receive your elements, but hold them because we're all going to come back together and we'll take them at the same time. But take time. If you need to just get in front of God for a little bit, if you got things that are in your life that are jagged, that are holding you back, sins that you know are present, get before God, repent of those things, take communion in a worthy manner. If there's people in here that you just need to go and say, I have missed you, I love you, forgive me, encourage them, pray with them or whatever, take this time. I did a short message today so we can have extra time here. So come and get your elements, pray with each other, love on each other. After this song, we will come back together and we'll take communion together. Amen? Amen. Isn't it good to be in fellowship? Fellowship with Christ, fellowship with the bride, the body, other believers. It's a wonderful thing, and it's not any man's idea. It's God's idea from the beginning. The Trinity is an example of fellowship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all together as one, but separate in personality, separate in job. Because of the Father, because of the Son, and because of the Holy Spirit, we too can have that same fellowship. And that's God's heart, and that's the heart of John in this epistle. Where there is division, he is bringing truth, full well understanding that those causing the division, they need to be separated, but they need to be separated to the extent that they have no more influence upon the church, upon those that are seeking Jesus. It's a wonderful thing that we serve a personal God too. The personal God says, let us have communion together. Right? When we do communion, we're not excluding God, Father, Son, or Holy Spirit. But we are including. And that's where your heart needs to be. Everything we've talked about today with this idea of communion in mind, listen once again what our text for today says. That which was from the beginning, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, which we have heard. We have heard through the scriptures. We have heard through the Holy Spirit. That's which we have seen with our own eyes. We see the wonders of Christ's work within our lives, within ourselves, within our families and friends that come to Christ, which we have looked upon, which we have touched with our hands, which has touched us with the Holy Spirit concerning the Word, concerning Jesus, the Word of life, the life that was made manifest. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. It's a manifestation that we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim it. That's what we're doing this morning. Through worship, through communion, we proclaim it. It's eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things. We are proclaiming these things. We are celebrating today, so that our joy may be complete. Let's complete all of those things. Let's complete our joy this morning by taking communion together. If you have your bread, go ahead and hold it up. Everybody say, thank you, Amy, for cutting the bread. That's a hunk of bread, isn't it? But it's okay, because symbolically, Jesus' body was broken. Same way this bread can be broken, and His body was broken for each one of us. But not just for each one of us that are in church today. Broken for mankind. It was broken for humanity. His body was broken so that there may be completion. Right? It is through Jesus Christ only that we can come back to the Father. But His body had to be broken. So within communion, we acknowledge that His body was broken. We thank Him that His body was broken. And because His body was broken, we can convene with the Father. We can pray healing, physical healings, pray emotional healings. But overall, it's about spiritual healing, isn't it? Each person that is without Jesus is sick. They need to be healed, and only Jesus can heal that because of the breaking of His body that is made possible. I'm going to pray and thank Jesus that He allowed His body to be broken, to hang upon that cross. But as I pray, I want each one of you to pray and hopefully gain just a deeper understanding of what this is actually about. Father God, thank You so much that You did love us so much that You sent Your Son. And thank You that Your plan went into effect far before anything. And it was spoken about in the garden right after the fall. Lord God, Your plan was in effect. And throughout history, though they looked for the Messiah, they didn't completely understand what had to be done. But Jesus, You did what had to be done. Your body was broken. You were nailed to a cross. Your blood atoned for the sins of mankind, past, present, and future. Because of that, Jesus, we can have fellowship with You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go ahead and take your bread. And likewise, the cup, the wine, the juice that we use, symbolic of the new covenant. New covenant's all about Jesus, isn't it? The old covenant was the law. Nobody could live up to the law. It was impossible. But because of the new covenant, because of the blood of Jesus, it opens up everything to us. Opens up the avenue to the Father. It opens up eternity and eternal life. You know, everybody's going to live forever. There's not one person that's not going to live forever. But it's where you live forever that matters. Eternal damnation and separation from Jesus Christ, or eternal worship and fellowship with Jesus Christ. The new covenant opens that up to each one of us. So we celebrate the new covenant, don't we? Every day we should celebrate the new covenant. The reason you're here this morning has everything to do with the new covenant. And in addition to all that great stuff, the new covenant is also about Jesus returning for his church, coming back to rapture the fellowship, the bride. Times are crazy. Seasons are wacko right now. There's a lot of evil going on in this world. There's a lot of decisions being made. There's a lot of fear and uncertainty. But one thing we are certain in is Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and that he's coming back for his church. Amen? So as we take this juice, it's in celebration of the new covenant, but it's also in anticipation of his return. And that's hope. That is hope in a hopeless world. Again, as I pray, pray within yourself. Glorify God. Worship him. Exhort him. Thank him for the new covenant and for what's in store for us ahead. Father, once again, what a plan. What a plan it was. What a glorious plan. What a beautiful plan. What a perfect plan. And Father God, I think it has to have been the hardest thing you've ever done and ever will do, sending your own son to a people that mistreated him, that didn't believe him, that beat him, that mocked him, that murdered him. But Lord God, your love transcended that pain that you felt. And Lord God, we thank you for that, that now we may have communion with you. Jesus, thank you once again for your obedience to your Father and the new covenant that you established. A new covenant that will stand for all eternity. A new covenant that it cannot be questioned. A new covenant that allows us to operate under your authority. And Lord, thank you for hope. Thank you for hope today. We thank you for hope tomorrow. We thank you for hope in the rapture and a resurrected body and eternity with you, Jesus. Jesus, thank you so much. Go ahead and take your juice. So, Lord, as we come together today, fellowshipping with you, help us to be better at fellowshipping with one another, to share life, to share communion, to share in participation. Lord, you're calling your church to so much more than it is. You're calling your church in a way that operates under your authority. So, Lord God, give us the ears to hear the Holy Spirit when he speaks to us. Give us the wisdom to understand and employ what you are speaking to us. And Holy Spirit, give us the boldness to follow these things through. Lord, you're calling us to make a difference. You're calling us to be doctrinally sound. You're calling us to truth. And you're calling us to love. So today, Jesus, it is all about you. Lord, let nobody leave here today the same way that they walked in. Let them be challenged, convicted, edified, confirmed, however that might look. Lord God, let it be, and let ourselves get out of the way. We glorify you in everything that you are doing, everything that you accomplished in this service today, everything that you're going to accomplish this week. We glorify you and we thank you. We pray this in the mighty name of our King Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And everyone shouted, amen. Amen. We got one last song.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com, and we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.